Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and it's March Madness time, and the high school Sweet 16 tournament and the NCAA basketball tournament will be here soon. Joining me today and tomorrow is Coach Matthew Mitchell. He's a three-time SEC Coach of the Year and the winningest head coach in the history of the University of Kentucky women's basketball program. He went over 300 games as a head coach and led UK to its first SEC championship in 30 years. Under his leadership, UK went to the NCAA tournament nine times and played the Elite Eight three times before his retirement in 2020. Coach Mitchell is in a new exciting season of life as a corporate coach and consultant, and he just recently wrote a wonderful book sharing what he's learned in his personal and professional life called Winning Tools, Three Leadership Principles That Build Purpose, Respect, and Success. Coach, thanks for joining me on Hope Is Here. I knew this was going to be a good book, one, because of knowing you personally, but also when I read the foreword by John Maxwell, like me, he's had a big impact on your life also, hadn't he?
A very big impact. It was really an incredible experience in my life to be first exposed to John's work, and that came to be through his Leadership Bible. And I've told this story before. It was before the 2009-2010 season. And we were really going in with no momentum as a program. We were one win above 500 in 2 years. And I thought I was going to come to Kentucky and take over the world, Greg. And we were not taking over anything. We were barely keeping our head above water. And a good friend of mine would go around and try to encourage coaches with a book every year. And the book that showed up on my desk before that season was John's Leadership Bible. And it not only impacted me spiritually and just helped me deepen my relationship with Christ, but the leadership lessons that I learned. And so then that led me to consuming more of his content. And then lo and behold, a year or two later, one of my managers walked in and said, "Coach, would you like to meet John Maxwell?" I said, "What? Of course. What is he?" "Well, he's across the hallway with Coach Cal right now, and I think he'll come over here and meet you." And so before I know it, he's sitting at a desk with me, and that started our relationship that's been over a decade now and just has always encouraged me, and it was awfully awfully big honor for him to write the foreword to the book, and he's had a huge impact on my life and millions of other people.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, you know, you shared about that. I mean, we know about your success, but, you know, you were at a kind of defining moment, beginning of the third year.
Yeah.
You know, there, you guys, like you said, just barely over 500, and expectations weren't good. So we're going to talk about success, but just talk about where you were at with that time and how you started implementing these winning tools.
Well, it really goes back to late 2008, actually, Greg, where we had just gotten done with the first semester and you know, the large portion of our non-conference schedule. And going into Christmas time, we had beaten by East Tennessee State. Now, East Tennessee State's a fine school, and the Lady Buccaneers, I have great respect for them, but we had paid them to come play us, and so it's not good when you pay someone to come in and beat you, East Tennessee State. And then we had gotten whipped pretty good by Louisville, which was not not an encouraging thing to happen when you're the coach of Kentucky. And so I was really drifting with where things were not working out. We were not where we had wanted to be. But I decided that Christmas, you know, I was so down, and I really turned to God at that time. And I was visiting my sister-in-law down, Jenna, my wife, her sister lived on Amelia Island. I was in a little guest bedroom, and I remember exactly where I was. And I just got on my knees. I was a believer, but I was so lost at the time, and I just said, "God, I have not been very faithful to you, and so all I know to do right now is I'm going to be more faithful." And I didn't really know exactly what that meant, Greg. I was just my parents had taught us to believe, but I really didn't have a relationship at the time. So I just said, "I'm going to be more faithful." And I don't know if you want me to go back and be a high school coach. I don't know if you want me to be the coach of Kentucky. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to – it was a moment of surrender. And so I was, you know, not a very mature Christian at the time. And so I just started, you know, slowly but surely getting in the Word and trying to spend more time in prayer. And that really cleared my mind on – being a better coach, because I'd stopped chasing wins or success, and I really had said I'm gonna just be a vessel here for you, God, to take me where you're gonna take me, and so I can explain it better now looking back than I really knew what was happening, but I think to sum it up, I really entered into a relationship with God the Father and Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to really work in my life. And it just, the proof is in the pudding. When that happened, I think I was that God was able to clear my mind so I could make the right decisions to end up having the courage to make the decisions I needed to make to be the kind of coach that I could be and to help us build the kind of program we wanted. And a lot of people talk about the wins, but I really look back on the impact we all had on each other and the influence we were able to have on our players and what they were able to go on past playing and what they could accomplish. And so it was a really pivotal moment for me in my life, certainly as a professional, but more important as a person. And so since the late December 2008, had a lot of blessings, but I've had a great relationship with God, and that's really what's been the guiding influence in my life. And now as I go into this new chapter, it's I'm almost back at square one from there, but I've got a much better foundation heading into it now, so that's how all that happened.
Well, I love that you mentioned that, and you know, I think one of the things, especially as men, but you know, for women also, but sometimes we see the word surrender as weakness, but actually, a lot of times that's where strength begins.
Absolutely, you
found that to be true.
Oh my goodness, it is when you surrender and you understand that God's living inside you and that's where your strength comes from. I think it actually helps us be more powerful in our daily pursuits of trying to be who God wants us to be. So the absolute starting point is surrender, and I think it's so key.
Well, in your book, I like it because you've got three leadership principles. So one, I'm a simple guy and I can handle three. When it's like seven or 10, I'm like, whoa, I don't know if I can do that. But I love that you got three, you keep it simple. And then all three of them, you know, I felt like I was kind of reading the book of Proverbs. They could all be found in that.
Yeah.
So the first one you start off with is the principle of honesty. Why is honesty the first winning tool?
Well, that's where my parents came into the picture. I was so fortunate to have parents who taught us and encouraged us to pursue life in a principled fashion. And I certainly didn't do it early in life. And but when it was time for me to decide what kind of coach I wanted to be, I said, yeah, I do want to be a principled coach. And honesty, everything just flows from there. That's the baseline. That talks to us so much about trust that we can build. If someone can depend on what I'm going to tell you, then I can build some trust with you. There's so much around effort. We would talk to our players about giving an honest effort. So I could watch a player, Greg, practice for 4 years. And so I had a great idea of whether she had, you know, by the time she was a senior, I'd watched her 200 or 300 times take the court in a practice setting. So I could tell whether she had done a great job or had an off day or had done pretty well. But only she knew if she had given her absolute best. And that's what we defined as an honest effort. If we can learn how to give an honest effort and give our best, don't compare ourselves to anyone else, but just what are we capable of doing and giving. And can we do our best in that area. We've called that an honest effort. And so honesty is the baseline. And if we get that tool down and we put that in our toolbox, now we have a chance to go on and make these other two tools really come together. And the concept, too, is for to all – they all work together. They all work in concert with one another. And it guides our thinking and it guides our decision-making. And just being a principle-based person can really help us move forward in a way that gives us great dividends.
Well, I like it that you kind of take a little deeper with that word honesty. When you talk about rigorous honesty. Mm. Elaborate on what that is.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you part of the truth, and maybe leave some stuff out, and I'm being technically honest. And so you learn that in coaching young people, or let me say this, being a young person, I knew how to cut some corners and get around, some of the truth. And so what we want to people to get down to the core of it, and rigorous honesty is really a reflection within. Am I being fully, authentically honest? Am I showing integrity is a bit deeper than if I am just into truth telling? You know, that it's an examination of ourselves, I believe, is really what we're trying to get across there with rigorous honesty. Let's tell the whole truth to the best of our ability so people know where we stand and what we're going to do, and we mean what we say.
Well, one of the things that we used to use when I coached at Western many moons ago, we talked about, excuses are a sign of weakness. And I liked one of the things you talked about with rigorous honesty. You said when you're doing that, you're eliminating those excuses,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I think eliminating excuses is one of the greatest things we can do to activate our honesty. You know, when we just say, hey, I'm not going to make an excuse, and I either was able to get that done or I was not. And listen, life's so dynamic and things happen, but trying to get that across to myself as a coach and a leader, and then also to our players of let's eliminate excuses and really try to live a life of rigorous honesty. I think there's so many benefits there.
Yeah, it really is. Looking at yourself, you talk about holding people accountable and yourself accountable, and I think we all need somebody that'll kind of be honest with us, don't we?
100%. It's such a gift we can have to have people who really love us that will tell us the truth. Because one thing that happened in when we were created, we are sophisticated beings as far as what we can get our brain to believe and the stories that we can tell. And sometimes we tell ourselves things to inflate us, but what I found out more, what I'm more interested in, Greg, is trying to tell people, I think more times than not, people are too hard on themselves and tell themselves a false narrative of they're not good enough and they can't get it done and that they, I think what I like to focus on is trying to tell people as we're being honest with ourselves. So important to recognize that we can get things done, and that's so helpful when you have someone come alongside you and say, hey, listen, I believe in you. I know you can do it. That encouragement aspect of it, and I think that is what we all need, because sometimes we can slip into saying we can't do it or we're not good enough to do it or why would I be chosen to perform this task.
I hate to cut you off there, Coach, but we're out of time today. But the good news is Matthew Mitchell is going to be back with us today. So I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Matthew Mitchell about the winning tools on Hope is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.